Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another beautiful day. Man, it has just been gorgeous weather for a few days. A little bit warmer today. I there were just a few things. I've got the old trusty robot lawnmower. Husky is what we affectionately call him because he's a Husqvarna. He does such a good job of keeping the grass, cut short in the front yard. And no tracks like the lawnmower. So all I have to do is do a little edging. So I was doing a little of that today, and it was hot. It was pretty darn hot. I think I mentioned yesterday or the day before, I thought about getting in the pool, and then I checked the temperature of the pool, and it was 65, and I thought, that needs to be a little warmer, or I need to be a little warmer. Well, I was warmer today. And I checked, and the pool was, it was 66. It warmed up a whole degree. So I got in, and it was like jumping in an ice bath. But, it felt great.
I bet.
Felt great. I'm reinvigorated, feel much better than I did earlier. So start of a nice-looking weekend. Hope everybody's got fun plans for the weekend. Dan is down in Troy. They're having softball, and they're having it. It's being telecast on ESPN Plus as well, and they needed somebody to do that. So, knowing him from his women's basketball duties, they called him. So he's getting softball the broadcast today on ESPN Plus, and we're thrilled. It's been a while, but we got our pit boss, Coach Don Dunn, back in the studio. Don, how you doing?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me. Like I say, a beautiful day. A great weekend ahead, I believe. My wife did a lot of yard work. I watched her, and she's all excited. We've got our first little tomatoes popping up. So,
yeah, now
if the birds or squirrels don't get them,
man, we haven't ventured as much into vegetables and everything. Older son Scott really has. They've got quite the vegetable an herb garden going.
Yeah, now, Donna likes all the herbs, too, the rosemary, the sage, all that.
Oh, yeah, they've got them all.
Supposed to keep mosquitoes away, we read, but
is that right?
I don't know.
Huh. Well, yeah, Scott and his wife were down in the Keys at a wedding and then stretched it a little bit because their anniversary was this past Tuesday. So they were down there. So I was going by and taking care of their fur babies, as they call them.
Right.
They got two dogs and a cat. Seeing them, but got a chance to just see all the stuff they've got growing there, which is really, really impressive. So yeah, good for the green thumbs. I have learned or decided through the years that as far as planting is concerned, now I do the edging and the trimming and the cutting and the weeding and things like that. But Kathy does. She does all that. She does the planting.
Okay.
And generally, it's more in pots. Now, if there's something that has to be planted in the ground, I'll do that.
Right.
But she does things, and we have different pots. And we have learned through the years that annuals are really pretty, but perennials are a whole lot less trouble.
Right.
Plant something and hope it comes back every year.
Right.
So it's that time of year. Enjoy it while you can because
the humidity.
It's about to get a whole lot hotter. Hey, I heard Jack Hudden on a little while ago, and want to remind you that Auburn High baseball is on W. Lee. They're down at Enterprise, doubleheader today. It's a best of three, so the season could be over for either Auburn or Enterprise today. But if necessary, there'll be a game three tomorrow, and you can hear all the action over on W. Lee with the action starting at 5 o'clock. We hope you stay with us at least until then. We've got sort of a makeup interview. First of all, Barrett Sully, we may have to try to find a different day for Barrett.
Yeah. It
seems like he always has something going on Fridays. And today he's got Braves duties once again. He's not just one of the biggest Braves fans you're going to find anywhere, but he is working for the AJC doing their pregame stuff. And he will be at the ballpark tonight as the Braves play at home, and he has that going on starting in about 5 minutes. So unable to have him on, but because of the fact that Auburn baseball had an afternoon game on Tuesday, that's normally when we have Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, on with us. Andy is going to join us at 4:15 from Alex Box Stadium down in Baton Rouge, where Auburn and LSU will start a three-game series this evening. So we'll talk with Andy in just a few minutes after we get to our first break. So that's coming up. Other than that, we're wide open here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Day one, last night, six quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And Don, as you mentioned, here in the pregame, almost the first half of the first round, nothing but offense.
Right.
For the NFL draft.
The first 14 picks were offensive players. I don't think I've ever seen that or heard of that.
Well, six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks.
And with some surprises.
Yeah, well, Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons when everybody was thinking, there's Brock Bowers, there's the place for Brock Bowers.
Right.
And a lot of Falcon fans are wondering, what's going on. Kirk Cousins wondering what's going on. Yeah. He didn't realize that the Falcons were going to take Michael Penix Jr. either until it was announced.
Right.
And then Bo Nix.
Yeah,
getting taken number 12 by the Broncos, and now appears that he'll be battling Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah,
for the starting job there with Denver.
Funny how all that works out, isn't it? I'm happy for all of them, and it's a great time of year for those young guys. But now they just got to go prove themselves, and I think it goes on through Saturday. Is that correct?
Yeah, rounds 2 and 3, as a matter of fact, will be getting underway at 5. Mm-hmm. We will join the ESPN radio's coverage of the draft as soon as the drive finishes for rounds 2 and 3 tonight, and then the final 4 rounds are tomorrow.
Tomorrow they fly. That's so funny on Saturday.
Well, and they could get these done. They could get done quicker. Last night really, really dragged.
Yeah.
I tried to
stay up and watch it.
No, it's one of those things where I start watching and it's like, all right,
yeah,
I can check something else out and come back in 15 minutes and I'm not going to have missed. All I'm going to miss is the talk.
Yeah, and it's just repetitive, a lot of it, just over and over the same things.
So we can take your thoughts, if you would like, on that. Some more transfer portal news. A player that on the basketball side, a player that we've been talking about here for the last week or so, has scheduled a visit to Auburn. That's R.J. Godfrey, the son of former outstanding defensive end Randall Godfrey. And R.J. has spent his first couple of years at Clemson. Mm-hmm. He has been a guy who played 15 minutes or so this past year, working at the 4 and 5. He was their top big man replacement
the
bench.
Large
He's
human.
A big guy. He's 6'8", about 230.
Yes.
Very athletic.
Right.
And he's a guy that could fit in. If he's someone, if he's looking for 25 to 30 minutes a ball game, this may not be the place. But I think Auburn can show him what they did last year with Jalen Williams
and the rotation
and Chaney Johnson.
Yeah.
And he could step into the Chaney Johnson role this year, playing 15 to 20 minutes a ball game.
And
of course, when Jalen got hurt, Chaney's time stepped up. But that's something Auburn could say, look, here's your opportunity here to play about half the ball game. Or if you play better, maybe a little more, but then be positioned to be a full-time guy the following year. So I think he would be the player at the top of the list when you're looking for that big man that Auburn's looking for.
Yeah, he's huge, very physical. And like you said, it'd be a great opportunity not only to come and play 15, 16 minutes, but to play on a, as we hope, a contender.
It's definitely going to be a championship contender. I mean, going to be Auburn's going to be picked to be a championship contender.
Be in the top 10 without a doubt.
Well, they've got so much experience returning. When you have Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell, and Chaney Johnson already coming back in the front court, it might seem, why would somebody want to go there? But again, the way Auburn did it a year ago is those guys nearly split time. So there are some minutes available there. And we'd already talked about the point guard, one of the point guards Auburn has been targeting for a while, Duke Miles, who is a native of Montgomery, led Robert E. Lee to the state title, went to Troy, was there for 3 years, and then played this past year at High Point. He's a 6'3 point guard who is a really good scorer, takes the ball to the rim, physical to the basket, and that's something that would be a little different than J.P. Pegues, the transfer that Auburn is bringing in from Furman, who is more of a shooting three. I mean, he can take the ball, can penetrate, but that's more of what Duke Miles is known for. Both of those players, R.J. Godfrey and Duke Miles, will be visiting next week.
Yeah, great.
So, so I mean, there's a chance.
They should be about finished.
Yeah, I mean, if Auburn can get those two, and no more attrition.
Right.
I would think that's your roster. Your roster would be set.
Yeah.
It was made official today. Something that we had known. I didn't realize Auburn really hadn't made it official. But Chris Moore also returning. But we had been counting on him being back. So that is where you look at this team would have 7 or 8 players in their final year of college basketball. I mean, Auburn is pushing all the chips in.
Right.
They're making the big push with an experienced team this year and hoping to wrap up the roster, I would think, with R.J. Godfrey and Duke Miles, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's what everyone says, and you hear all these coaches talk all through the tournament. They want to get older, and we are getting older. And like you said, it should be exciting year. A lot of excitement about the rankings and all the guys coming back. It's very fortunate.
And it's crazy. The portal now players don't have to make a decision. Here's something that people need to keep in mind. Players that are in the portal don't have to decide when the portal closes, but they have to be in the portal by then. And the football portal ends April 30th. The basketball portal ends May 1st. So by the middle of next week, if players aren't in the portal, then they won't have an opportunity to transfer until the fall. So, I mean, we'll see. I expect a little more flurry here over the weekend. There's still some players entering the portal, both football and basketball-wise. So we'll keep an eye on that. Tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to our first break of the afternoon. So that we can go ahead and check in with Andy Burcham down at Alex Box Stadium in Baton Rouge when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. It's Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls as we head to the drive hotline presented by Skybar. Welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy down in Baton Rouge at the box, I would assume. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing well, Don, Bill. Good to hear from you guys. I'm literally just walking into the Alec Box Stadium right now. Going to take the elevator up to the booth.
All right.
Man, that is a great venue for baseball, and it'll be rocking, I am sure, tonight. An LSU team that has not played as well as they would like coming off the national championship, but they did win a series last week.
Yeah, took 2 of 3 last week at Missouri, and that was a hot Missouri ball club, and did it in Columbia. So that's even more impressive for this LSU ball club. that comes off the national championship. And, you know, they've got five SEC wins, Auburn with a couple at this point. So these are two teams right now trying to right the ship. And I think LSU took a step in that direction last week.
Yeah, two teams trying to get to the SEC tournament, and both of them now are, I guess LSU would be tied for the, well, they probably have the tiebreaker since they beat Missouri. LSU would be the last team in at the moment, but Auburn trying to climb the ladder a little bit. They've got to pass a couple of teams to be able to make the tournament.
Well, they got to pass at least 2-3 teams to get into the tournament at this point. And you know, you're at the point of the season where it's getting a little bit dire with regard to the SEC tournament at this point. Although Auburn dropped 3 last week in Starkville, I thought Auburn took a step in the right direction, especially with its starting pitching. Auburn's starting pitchers last week had an ERA of 2.66 at Mississippi State, and then what we did on Tuesday night with Chase Alsop throwing really 5 very, very good innings against Florida A&M. So you just hope that starting pitching continues and Auburn can right the ship when it comes to the bullpen this weekend.
Yeah, it was very encouraging to see the starting pitching a week ago. One of the big concerns right now is the health of the guys, though. I mean, you know, who is going to be available has been the question as we head into each series.
Yeah. Ike Irish will not. He is on the trip, but he is still doing a rehab on his injured ankle. So he is out for this weekend. Butch Thompson talked about that when we recorded the pregame show. Bobby Pierce is a question mark. Mason Maynard is a probable for tonight's game.
That's
so
better.
That's a little bit better. Auburn's played without those three guys for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
But will not have probably their, well, not overall, but their, not probably their best overall hitter in Ike Irish again this weekend.
Yeah, so it has created some opportunity for some young guys, and that's the way you have to approach it. I mean, you know, of course, Cade Ballou continues to take advantage of his opportunities. We've seen Eric Guevara, some young guys, you know, get the opportunity to get in there, and that's what you know, that's what you hope. You know, it needs to be next guy up, and just hope, because the offense did struggle last weekend down in Starkville.
It did. You know, it's just and it had opportunities, too. That's the frustrating part, that, you know, you take a 2-run lead into the bottom of the 7th in game 3. You lose another game 3-1. I mean, you know, you had opportunities to win not only that a game. You had opportunities to win that series last weekend because the pitching, the starting pitching, was so very good for Auburn comparatively to the rest of the last part of the season. So, listen, you got to be able to put it together at some point this season. I mean, for such a long time that it was the pitching game in and game out. It was the relief pitching in the Thursday game, or the Friday game, I should say, at Mississippi State. The starting pitching was there, and all this, you know, and Auburn was just hitting the ball all over the park. But now we're kind of seeing just the opposite, which makes it a little more frustrating, I'm sure, for everybody involved with this ball club at this point.
Auburn going to go with the same trio of starters this weekend as they did last week, right?
Yeah, Dylan Watts tonight. It will be Tanner Bauman tomorrow night. And then Carson Myers, who was really the tough luck loser for Auburn.
Yeah, he was.
Last Sunday. He'll go for the Tigers this Sunday afternoon against LSU. And I was encouraged with the way that Chase Alsop threw for Auburn on Tuesday. Certainly was encouraged with the 2 innings of work that Cam Tilley had. And, yeah, great, yes. I know that is against Florida A&M, but that was a step in the right direction for this Auburn ball club, to be sure. And you just have to hope that it continues, you know, that they've turned a corner, so to speak, with regard to the pitching staff for this ball club at this point.
Well, that was a Florida A&M team that came in hitting right at 300 as a team, and Auburn, I mean, completely shut them down.
Absolutely. And one of the odder games that Brad and I have called together, because I don't remember ever, and granted, you know, for the first part of the 25 years that I did it with Rod, we never had velocities.
Right.
You know, we might be able to look over the shoulder of a scout and get a velocity on someone.
Yeah, try to read a gun.
But now that you do, we had, I mean, there
I heard some of it, Andy.
One of Auburn's players was hit by a pitch that went 58 miles an hour.
Yeah. I was there for the first inning and a half before I had to come in, and I heard some of the numbers you guys were giving, and it's like, really? I haven't heard that. I mean, you don't hear that. That's something that you might hear from, Dixie Youth. I mean, I'm thinking, right. They're throwing exactly. 65.
Yes. So that was a little bit bizarre. I don't think we didn't see the top line Florida A&M pitchers as well, but I was pleased with the way that Chase Alsip went. He took care of business.
Yep.
You know what? I mean, he went out and he commanded his fastball, and he was really good with his off-speed stuff. And then Cam Tilley came in, and for two innings, he threw whatever he wanted to wherever he wanted in that ball game. And then, it was a short game, seven-inning game. So some of the other guys that probably would have gotten into play, which might have included Mason Mingers on Tuesday, did not get in because it ended up being a seven-inning run rule game.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You like to go ahead and take care of things and build a little confidence, hopefully, before this series here against LSU. Let's talk about the Bengal Tigers, the defending national champs. They're 26-16, but surprisingly 5-13 in this league. But as we said, they won a series at Missouri last week. Generally, you think LSU, you think power on the mound and at the plate.
Well, and I think we're going to see more of that. I think we will see that this weekend out of LSU. I don't think this LSU team is put together any differently than it was a week or a year ago. It's just, you had the National Player of the Year, the number one overall draft pick in Skeens, and you had another guy in Cruz that was one of the best, by the end of the year, one of the best offensive players. And you've lost both of those guys coming into this season.
They got Tommy White back.
And for whatever reason, and this is so odd, you look at the last three national champions in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and LSU. And in the seasons that have followed since those national championships, it has been a struggle. I mean, Mississippi State hasn't even been back to the SEC tournament. They're going to be there this year. Ole Miss wasn't in the SEC tournament last year, and they're one of the teams fighting for a spot this year. And then this LSU ball club is only three games ahead of Auburn at this point in the standings. So whatever that is, I don't know exactly what that is. Whatever that is, though, there is a difference in the way these teams have played since they won a national championship.
Oh, no question about it. They do have Tommy White, who was such a key for them last year in their national championship run back, though.
Yes. I mean, there are good pieces that are left for this ball club, for this LSU ball club. I would think if you ask this team, they would say, we're disappointed that we only have five SEC wins, mm-hmm. and they're scratching their head just a little bit. But they have a chance to put it together by the end of this season, and not only get in the SEC tournament, but get into contention, I think, for the NCAA tournament. But they have to continue to do what they did last week at Missouri.
What about the guys on the mound for LSU this year? I mean, I see that they're right there at the top of the SEC in strikeouts as a staff. Do they have somebody or a couple of guys that you say, wow, look out for these guys. They've really got great stuff.
I think the guy that we will see tonight, the left-hander, Gage, will throw tonight. He's a power guy. I mean, he has good numbers. He will throw in the mid-90s with a really good fastball. He will also throw the off-speed pitch as well. So I think we'll see that kind of guy here tonight for this ball club. But, listen, I mean, a year ago they had the best pitcher that we've seen in college baseball, maybe since David Price, at least in the SEC, in Skeens. I mean, he never lost.
Well, he just gave up his first run in the minors just a couple of days ago for the season.
Well, he's as good as we've seen. He's as good as we've seen in a long, long time for LSU or anybody else in the Southeastern Conference. And the thing that I was just blown away by was not only was he very good, and he was, but he never lost his velocity in a ball game.
No.
He was still throwing 100 in his last inning, and he went deep. He wasn't one of those five-inning guys, and then his day was done. He was good the entire time. And when you have that kind of veteran presence, and they had more than that last year, you know, you, you, you should should win. You should be in contention to play for a national championship at that point.
Oh, you, yeah, they, no question they had an anchor. Hey, I'll give you an idea how much respect our fantasy league had for him. You know the rules and how the things were drafted in our fantasy league, Andy. He went for $12 in our draft. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So
he's worth it, too.
Every penny of it. Oh.
Yeah.
Talking with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Hey, they don't play music like State did last week?
No, our booth is closed at this point.
Because last week we could barely hear Andy with the music that was playing. And I was thinking, man, it's a lot quieter this week down there at the box. It will be rowdy for folks that aren't familiar with it. Man, you couldn't ask for two more lively, into it places to go than Starkville and Baton Rouge.
Starkville, I guess the best crowd that we had there was the Sunday doubleheader. They're over 13,000.
Yeah, shame that the weather messed things up there on Saturday.
Yeah, because that would probably have been close to 15,000 with everybody that would have been there, because it was coming off of their spring football game, and so. But we had 13 there. There was over 13,000 there for the doubleheader on Sunday. And, you know, then you come here, and by the way, the wind is blowing out and at a pretty brisk pace tonight. So, boy, if you will keep
ball
it down
carries
tonight,
pretty well already at the box.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Hal Baird once told me, he said, there's no question when Skip Bertman in the old Alec box, they had the ability to change the wind when LSU was at the plate. So,
sure,
that's just
felt
the way
like
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly the way they felt like it. So, but yeah, the wind is blowing out about 18 miles an hour right now, blowing out to the center, left center. So you better keep the ball down in this ballpark tonight. And Auburn has shown the ability to hit the ball out as well. But you talked about the young guys earlier, Bill. And while you never want to go through an injury spell that Auburn has gone through when you lose a Bobby Pierce and an Ike Irish and a Mason Maynard for a prolonged period of time. But it has given guys like Caleb Freeman and Cale Strickland and Kate Blue an opportunity to play game in and game out. And those guys have performed, I think, for Auburn very well. They love the way Cale Strickland receives behind the plate for the Tigers. We're starting to see him hit the ball a little bit more. We're just scratching the surface, I think, on what Kate Blue can do in an Auburn University uniform, because he is big. He has some power. He can go the opposite way, and he runs well for a guy.
He's really athletic.
Of his size.
Yeah.
And Caleb Freeman, you know, got a start last week, and
gosh,
the home run he hit at Mississippi State was a bomb, and then had a two-run double on Tuesday night against Florida A&M. So those young guys, and you have to include Chris Stanfield in that group, because he's only a sophomore. It seems like he's been starting forever. But that's some young guys that are getting some playing time, and I think starting to prove why they have scholarships at Auburn University. I think those guys are playing well, and it certainly bodes well for the future of Auburn baseball.
Talking with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers. Andy, can you stick with us for one more segment?
I'd love to, Bill.
All right. Well, we will get to our bottom of the hour break and a few more minutes with Andy when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're joined on the drive hotline by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, who's down at Alex Box Stadium down in Baton Rouge. Auburn and LSU set to begin their first of three coming up in just a little while. Airtime. What is the airtime tonight, Andy?
6:15 tonight, Bill. It's a 6:30 start here. Then we'll be on the air at 5:45 tomorrow evening over on Waves 94.3. With a 6 o'clock start, and then we're on the air at 12:45 on Sunday for a 1 o'clock start. At this point, anyway, knowing that weather can change, weather looks good for the weekend as far as it being dry. It is warm and humid in Baton Rouge, which is not surprising in
nope,
the least.
That's the norm.
But, at least it looks like the rain chances are minimal at this point.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I just didn't remember if it was a 6 or 6.30 start tonight. So 6.30, 6.15 over on Wings 94.3. You can hear the little pinging of the bat in the background. Oh, I was telling Don a little while ago, Andy, we haven't made a whole lot of travel plans yet, but I'm doing my best to try to see if we can hit as many concerts as we can while some acts are around. And you know, I'm a big music guy anyway. But wanted to run these by and just let you tell me what you think of my lineup that we have. We've already gone to a few shows. We were at REO Speedwagon a couple of weeks ago.
Fabulous.
All right, so next up.
And I will add, if I have seen some of these, I saw REO Speedwagon. Goodness, it was probably, that was before I moved to Auburn.
Yeah.
So that's how long your life's been.
Well, that they were probably playing, yeah, that they're a Midwestern band, so I would think,
sure.
Yeah, they would have been around there. And, yeah, Kevin Cronin sounds the same. He looks like your grandmother or something now, though.
Yeah, he does look a lot older, doesn't he? Yes, he does.
Well, we are a little older. All right, so
yes, two
weeks from tonight, we're going to go see Heart and Cheap Trick.
That'd be terrific. I've never seen either one of those.
No,
but
nor have I.
If on YouTube, if you YouTube the goodness, now I can't think of who it was. It was a Kennedy Center honor for Led Zeppelin.
Uh huh. Oh, their cover of Stairway to Heaven, Heart's cover of Stairway to Heaven, is fabulous.
It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
I could not believe it.
It was unbelievable.
Kathy was playing some Heart just because she wanted to hear and remember everything. And I heard the start of Stairway to Heaven, and I went, Stairway to Heaven? And it was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. So yeah, that's what we have in 2 weeks. In June, we're going to go see the Stones in Atlanta.
Well. There you go.
And then, all right, July.
Is this their seventh or eighth farewell tour?
Well, I mean, I just feel like one of these is going to be the farewell. And I haven't seen them in 20-something years, so might as well go see them. Hey, their new album, Hackney Diamonds, is outstanding. Then in July, we have Styx, Foreigner, and John Waite are all playing together.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, and in August we're going to see America, and then September there are too many home football games in September.
Speaking of concerts, it was announced this week at the Gouge Performing Arts Center that Idina Menzel is doing one night on August 6th, and those tickets went on sale today at 10 this morning, and my wife said, "Get them. This is the only thing I want you to do today." She had to work. She said, "You had better get us tickets to see Idina Menzel." So I did. We have tickets to see Idina Menzel at the Gouge, and that will complete our Wicked tour because we saw Christian Chenoweth.
Ah.
Who played her sister in Wicked
not
many years ago. We saw actually with Rod and Paul Bramlett. We saw them in Atlanta, and she was terrific. We cannot wait. So we have tickets. That's the one concert we're going to see this summer. Idina Menzel.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we saw, as a matter of fact, we saw Sarah Evans last week at the Gouge as well. So, and she really put on a good show. I was going to say, September, there are too many home football games, so the open date weekend in October, we've got Aerosmith on Friday night and ELO on Saturday.
I like the fact that you're going to see acts where the guys and the gals in the band are as old as you are, Bill.
I do too. Yeah, I didn't want to be the oldest one there, and definitely we won't be. I mean, well, that's what I said. I want to see these before they're gone, because there's no telling they could be gone at any time.
The life of a retired couple. There you are. That's you and Kathy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hey, there has been, let's maybe talk a little sports here in the last couple of minutes that we have. The transfer portal continues to just be so active, but you have to be really impressed with what Auburn football and basketball, Hugh Freeze and Bruce Pearl, have been able to get done in the portal. And then, of course, in basketball, the return of Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell with the rest of that experience makes for some, I mean, just a lot of excitement about next season in both those sports.
Well, when we talked last week, you know, we were kind of hoping that Jani was coming back. It kind of looked that way, and then he made the announcement. And with Dylan already announcing that he's coming back, I just don't think there's going to be a better front line in the Southeastern Conference, maybe in college basketball, than Jani and Dylan. And I'm going to be interested to see if we don't see those guys on the floor more together this coming season than we did a year ago. But Auburn has helped itself at the guard spot, continues to recruit from what we gather, especially at the guard spot and the point guard spot with the departure of Aiden Holloway and Trey Donaldson. So Bruce Pearl and his group know that they're doing have you heard that, Bill, or Brett? I guess Chris Moore has announced that he's
coming back. Yeah, that was official today.
And that's I know you look at his numbers and you say, wow, you know, okay, it's great to have him.
Man, he's a glue guy.
What that guy does on the floor but in the locker room and in the huddle, you cannot put a number on that. And look what Chris Moore did in the SEC tournament this year and what he did in important moments in the SEC tournament with a huge rebound here, couple huge baskets there. I think he will be more of a factor for Auburn next year as well. So I think that's great to get Chris Moore back for the Tigers this season. I'm glad to hear that's official that he's back. He's one of my favorites. He's one of my favorite kids to be around, and I look forward to having him back in the orange and blue. But to football, you know, isn't it interesting because a year ago, Bill, I mean, Hugh Freeze was having to hit the transfer portal just to get bodies
no kidding.
On the team, just to fill out a roster, for goodness sakes. And it's different this year. I'm sure he's hitting the portal more than he would like, but what he has been able to do since the end of spring practice with the top wide receiver, well, I guess I can't talk about it until they've signed.
He signed. Auburn's tweeted out that he signed.
All right, so he has signed, so we can talk about it. You get the top wide receiver in the portal. You get more help on the defensive front.
No kidding.
As well, and you know, I mean, the transfer portal's still open. So what Hugh Freeze and his staff, which includes not only the coaches but their director of player personnel and their general manager, what those guys do is absolutely remarkable. And listen, and Hugh Freeze has said this, especially since the end of last year, with that outstanding recruiting class that signed in December. We saw most of them this spring. We'll see more of them this summer. He wants to build Auburn's football team around those high school guys, those guys coming in December. I think he will certainly take advantage of the transfer portal when he can and when it's needed. But, boy, I don't know how you cannot be impressed with what Bruce Pearl continues to do with the transfer portal and now in the second year of what Hugh Freeze and his staff are doing at the transfer portal as well.
No, you're absolutely right. Bruce Pearl has done an amazing job, and they've got a couple of more very prominent guys that are going to be visiting here in the next week. That if they were able to get those, that this would be about as I thought last year was as deep a roster, the deepest Auburn basketball roster I'd ever seen. This one may end up nudging it just a little bit when you throw in the experience that they may have. And then
last year's the deepest since I've been calling the game since I took over for Rod with that 1920. See, that 1920 team was pretty deep.
Right.
And I'd like to see what would have happened with that ball club at the end of the year.
Oh, no kidding.
Took care of that. But you know, last year, there's no question that was an incredibly deep basketball team. I think to get to that point, they've still got to add a couple pieces to the puzzle. But boy, listen, I'll be honest. When that season ended, I really didn't think we'd see Jani Broom back with Auburn.
Nor did I.
And I didn't know if we'd see Dylan Cardwell back with Auburn. And we'd already heard the word. You know, there was the rumors out there that the Trey and Aiden were looking elsewhere. So, but boy, I mean, here we are a month and a half since then, and it's hard not to get excited for the 24-25 basketball season, isn't it?
Oh, no question. And Peyton Thorne has got to be one of the happier guys at Auburn with the addition of a left tackle and proven receivers, including Keandre Lambert-Smith. So, I mean, I just the excitement, I think, is going to build as we head toward the summer.
No question about it. No question about it. It's an incredibly tough schedule for Auburn this season, especially when you go to Georgia and to Alabama in the same season. I hope at some point that they can figure that out.
Yeah.
And to do that, in all likelihood, Auburn's going to have to play one of those teams twice on the road to get into the rotation of getting those teams off of the same home schedule and the same away schedule.
Well, to be fair, it just
talked about or not.
Yeah. To be fair, it ought to be Georgia. Auburn don't need to play Alabama twice, so that theirs is already on the same year. So go ahead, bite the bullet, play Georgia there twice, get that thing straightened out, and hopefully let's get the schedule straightened out so that we don't have to be missing teams as much as we have over the last decade plus.
Well, I think they've got that set up now where the rotation is much better than it was. I mean, the fact that Auburn played Missouri once at home and once on the road and didn't play that team until they'd already played them once in the SEC championship game.
It's crazy.
I think they have at least figured that part of it out to where the rotation's much better than it has been in years past.
Well, I hope so. We'll learn more about that as we get closer to SEC Media Days. But we got big baseball series. Yes, this is, again, I know it looks like, well, this season is done, but you can't approach it like that. Auburn needs to pick things up and see if they can't get into the SEC tournament, and then who knows what will happen.
Well, I guarantee you this team isn't playing like the season's over, or this staff. Or your radio guys aren't going to broadcast like the season's over. I can guarantee you that. listen, it has not been the season that we had hoped for, to be sure. We can look at the schedule, we can look at the record, and know that it's going to be tough to make it just to the SEC tournament
right. At
this point. But this Auburn Ball Club will fight and scratch and claw until the very last out of the season, wherever that takes place. So we look forward to being with you tonight starting at 6:15 over on Wings 94.3, Bill.
And we look forward to following it as well, Andy. Thanks a lot for spending a little time with us here this afternoon. Have a great broadcast, and good luck.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle.
All right, Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us here on this Friday, usually with us on Tuesdays, but then he was on the air while we were on the air on Tuesday. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. We'll open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, or you can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number, 334-564-1840. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika means Big Mike Steakhouse, famous for high-quality steaks cooked.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes of hour number one here on the Friday Drive, and let's get to the Drive hotline. K-Bag, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I appreciate you taking my call. I want to get to what I'm calling Stretch Armstrong pick at the first round last night with the Denver Broncos.
I think
What are they doing picking Bo Nix with the quarterback room of the Land of Misfit Toys with Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Bo Nix now?
Well,
I can't figure out for the life of me why anybody would pick Bo Nix outside of the third round.
Well, I don't think anybody had him falling that low. I mean, obviously, they know that they feel like they need a quarterback, and there'd been a run. I think the Falcons' pick of Michael Penix was as much of a stretch. Well, I guess we'll find out. I don't know. I've never been as down as a lot of people have been on Bo. He didn't have really great talent around him when he was here at Auburn. I don't think Gus had given him a lot of protection on the offensive line or outstanding receivers, something we talked about, you know, when we're talking about Peyton Thorne now. Bo completed nearly 80% of his passes this past year. We'll see how things go. He's got a pretty good guy to be playing for in Sean Payton, I would think.
You're right, Bill, about Gus. Gus gave him nothing to work with, and then he went to the Pac-12 where they don't play defense, and checked down Bo, never made a pass more than 30 yards down the field.
That is the big question about him. I mean, I know everyone says he's going to have to push the ball downfield.
Well, absolutely, but he's never proven that he can.
Well, if he's going to be able to last at all, he's going to have to. He's got he's got ability. There's no question about Bo having ability. I think I guess we'll find out. He's got a better shot there than he would have had at a lot of other places.
Well, you know, you have something going there when you talk about Bo's ability. Here's the thing about Bo. He's going to interview really well at the combine and when they get him.
He's going to test well, too.
On campus, so to speak, in Denver. He's going to know the playbook. He's going to know the whiteboard. He's going to know the film. But when Sunday comes, it's time to put the uniform on. I just don't think he is anywhere close to NFL caliber. I appreciate the fellas back. Experience and knowledge from the pro.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And again, I look up and ESPN is showing the scene. Thousands and thousands of fans there in Detroit for the NFL draft.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I didn't think anything could top Nashville. Remember, they just took over the whole city.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, it looked like there were 100,000 or more fans that were there. And I'm thinking, how would it feel if you were one of the late arrivers? I mean, if you're there a half a mile back in the crowd.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's NFL fans.
It's turned into a party for sure.
Day two of the draft will be getting underway right as we get done here today. The second round will get started. And we'll see if there's an Auburn player taken tonight. Second and third rounds tonight. Perhaps DJ James. Mm-hmm. You've got with DJ James, Nehemiah Pritchett, and Marcus Harris. You've got a few guys that could go, probably will go at some point. But you just wonder, will Auburn have anybody tonight? The question that got some people going a little earlier today was, should Auburn claim Bo Nix, who went number 12? Well, he has an Auburn degree, but, I mean, the numbers that Bo Nix put up the last 2 years at Oregon have just been phenomenal. I know K-Bag, as he called in, I'm not going to argue terribly about that's not the best defensive conference in the country, in the Pac-12, but it's hard to throw for 4,000 yards and nearly 80% against air.
Right. Yeah, I think he had a great year, and I'm happy for him. You know, it's unfortunate things didn't work out. The kid was under so much pressure here and didn't have the support, the surrounding pieces.
No, he didn't. And then really when Auburn made the change from Gus and Brian Harsin, didn't do anything to really – support Bo Nix at all, pretty much opened it up and made it seem as though, he wasn't sure whether Bo would be the guy. Now, granted, Bo had that struggling ball game that T.J. Finley had to come in and make the miraculous play there on fourth down.
Right.
But, I mean, you look at Bo's career. I mean, he's thrown in. He wins a big ball game preseason opening matchups there with a touchdown pass at the end of the ball game. He beats Alabama as a freshman.
Yep.
But he didn't. Yeah, he didn't get support from his head coach, and there were a lot of fans that expected so much more out of Bo that it wasn't gonna be enough. And I remember when Bo decided to transfer after getting his degree. There are a lot of people that are like, well, good riddance, anybody can do what Bo's done. And you then found out, no, maybe not anybody can do that. And there's a little of that, I think, going on with Peyton Thorne right now. Let's see how Peyton Thorne does with the players that he now has around
him
as compared to last year. Look, Hugh Freeze surely has. I mean, we have not seen any concerted effort for Auburn to go out and find a veteran quarterback to come in and, you know, bump Peyton Thorne.
Yeah.
And with the way that Auburn has approached the transfer portal as aggressively as they have pursued and been able to bring players in where they needed them, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, wide receiver.
Yes.
You would think that if quarterback had been a priority, you would have seen more of an effort there.
Yeah, I think they're very comfortable with our quarterback right now. And like you said, it's so important who you have around you. If you don't have guys that can get open, that don't run the right routes, as we were speaking about earlier, that can't get away when they catch the ball, it's hard to be a quarterback. And unfortunately, that's the guy everybody looks at. And you know, that's the guy, that's the leader. And I just think it's going to be so much better this year, especially with these young receivers and the transfer we got coming in.
With adding Keandre Lambert-Smith,
that's big,
on top of Robert Lewis and Sam Jackson, who they'd already brought in, and then the youngsters in Cam Coleman and Bryce Kane being able to go through spring practice and spend time with Peyton Thorne. And I think you also have to really look at now the offensive coordination and play calling. There's no question, are they on the same page? Kent Austin has been with Hugh Freeze for years.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Nix spent 4 or 5 years with Hugh Freeze,
right,
as well. So they know it's not a little of this, a little of that.
Yeah.
It's going to be Hugh Freeze's offense.
No doubt. They're all on the same page, and the nice thing is they have all summer to work together with the coaches, with the young kids here that were here in the spring. Such a plus. I mean, that's going to make a big difference, and they'll get a lot of work done in the summer, and that's where you make your team.
So we'd love your thoughts if you want to give your thoughts. K-Bag, just wondering, he called the Stretch Armstrong reach of the first round the Broncos pick of Bo Nix. I would think more of the Falcons pick of Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
as really a because they just signed Kirk Cousins to a multi-year deal. They need defensive help. Brock Bowers was out there. I mean, what a perfect fit. How many Brock? We said this yesterday.
Yeah.
How many Brock Bowers Falcons jerseys?
Oh my goodness!
Do you think they could have sold?
They'd have sold out today.
No kidding.
And that would have been a great deal.
People go, well, they already have Kyle Pitts, but Kyle Pitts, you know, is Brock Bowers is a great receiver, but Kyle Pitts could be, you know, either they go with a double tight end set, or he's just your big slot guy. Yep. Is what Kyle Pitts could be, but they didn't do it, and that's sort of the Falcons. But you know. We will see. That's the other thing. I'm never going to completely bash a team for a pick or rave about a team's picks, because so many of them don't turn out the way you would expect. Drew was just talking to us here during the break. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did not hear Sean Payton's comments last night about the Broncos pick of Bo Nix. But Drew was telling me that, and that you know, there were Chiefs fans when the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, I'm wondering if they'd lost their minds, thinking this guy isn't gonna win us any big ball games.
Right.
No, he just win you just about every big ball game.
Yeah.
is what he has done. Yeah. So if you've got any thoughts on the round one of the NFL draft, we'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, though, here in hour number two of the Friday Drive. We talked a little bit more about the some news coming out from Basketball Portland, as Auburn now is set to get an official visit from R.J. Godfrey, the big – /center from Clemson, son of former NFL star Randall Godfrey. He's been at Clemson the last couple of years, one of their top reserves, better than 15 minutes of ball game, averaged nearly 7 points, 4 rebounds a game, shot around 60% from the floor. Not a great free throw shooter, a little over 60% there, but a very athletic guy. And, you're just wondering, is he looking for a surefire starting job? If that's the case, I don't know that Auburn would be the best spot for him. But if he's looking to be able to be a contributor, play probably split playing time at in the front court and playing for a team that should be a contender for the SEC and beyond, then this could be a great landing spot. And it would be the perfect fit for Auburn there in the front court. They're also getting a visit out of Duke Miles, the point guard who has played this past year at High Point after being at Troy the three previous years. From Montgomery, Robert E. Lee led them to a state title. And he would be a great addition with J.P. Pegues there in the backcourt. So Auburn's got two big visitors confirmed for next week. I don't know of any visitors scheduled to come in this weekend for basketball or football. And football-wise, I wonder. I mean, Auburn they have some spots. I looked at the roster yesterday. I tried to re-update my depth chart, and I've got it updated. Now I just need some help figuring out how I can transfer that to my phone from my computer. I've got to get that figured out. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as I have it right now, Auburn has 79 players on scholarship. You can have 85. Mm-hmm. So they've got a little bit of room. I would think that what Auburn can do right now, Don, is just look at maybe the best available players out there and see if there would be a fit.
Yeah.
They can be picky, I think.
Right. They're not going to be in a hurry. They're going to take their what little time we have left. But, yeah, they can be very selective. It's not a panic situation mm-hmm. like before.
Yeah, I saw somebody posting about a linebacker that had just entered the portal. And, I mean, that might be a spot. Yeah. I mean, you might look at another linebacker. With the return of Tyler Scott, maybe an experienced player in the secondary, but I don't see a need where Auburn has to get another player. Now, the thing to keep in mind is there's still 4 more days for yep. players to enter the portal. Yep. And I'm not talking, so be keeping an eye on players anywhere else who might enter the portal. There might be somebody from Auburn that might enter the portal here over the next few days. And if that's the case, then you might want to go out and get yeah. a player at that position just to keep your depth.
Yeah, I'm sure they have their list in case something would happen. I know all the guys that are involved with the portal, they're on top of it 24/7, like we talked about a few weeks ago. So if something were to happen that an Auburn player did jump into the portal, I'm sure the coach has a plan. And let's look at this next guy or, down the road. But it's not, like we said, a panic situation like last year.
No. And something, the next time we get a chance to talk to Hugh Freeze, I really want to get him to comment. He had talked about perhaps not being as prepared as he should have been for the portal because, as Andy said a while ago, I mean, his focus, he wants to build this around, high school players.
Right.
And, man, what a great job they have done from the moment he's been on campus of targeting and getting high school players to sign.
Yeah.
But this year, I mean, once that portal from last year came and Auburn got what they could, it's like they were just, we've got to get a few experienced receivers, get some guys in. I think you have seen a refocus. And now they're able to, all right, they're still really doing a very good job in the high school recruiting, but they've been able to change their approach to transfer recruiting. I mean, I've mentioned this quite a few times. With high school players, it's not always just necessary, absolutely necessary, that you get the first visit. Right. Sometimes you do. You may want to set that tone, set that bar so that wherever they go, you feel like, oh, they can feel like they can say, well, I saw that at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, you might want to be that last place.
I'll
because
wait.
Last
yeah.
impressions
yes.
sometimes are strong, are very tough to get over.
When I was coaching, I always wanted to get the last visit to the school.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to try to be the last in-home visit.
Oh, yes.
And back in those days, you were scared to death up until they signed or sent in their fax.
Absolutely.
And now that has changed a little bit. But, yeah, I think they're doing the right thing. I'm so happy they're doing the high school deal. You know, they got to build from within with the high school players. That's your bread and butter. And like you said, they can be more selective now with the portal. Maybe we need this, maybe we need that. Not just a mass you know, chaos like
well, when
it was
they first
last
came
year.
When they first no came choice. In, it's like you don't really
no
have a group that's been together,
right.
And you look at the roster and you go, oh man, we need a lot of help.
Yeah,
and they turned over 40
right.
something. Remember, there were like 42 of the
yes,
83 players on the roster
yeah.
last year.
And you know, you had guys on the staff that were not really his guys, even though they were Auburn guys, and all that matters. And now it's so much smoother.
Mm-hmm.
I always said the second year is always the best, and when you're a coach, when you're a player. The second time through, you're going to be better, or you're not going to be around. So
yeah, you're absolutely yeah. right. But I mean, we've seen the approach to the transfers now. As you realize, with transfers, you really want to be there as early as possible. If you're behind a few schools, you may never get the opportunity.
Right, right, and that's why it's so important to have all these. And you know, people complain about, oh, they have so many staff members, but you have to have those guys that they're on top of that. And they present that to Coach Freeze. Hey, this guy's available. He's in the portal. Let's go. You can't wait.
Right.
3 minutes, 5 minutes. Like yeah, you said, you're late. You're behind.
Yeah, there had better be somebody who that player would have an idea who it is from that school contacting them within
seconds.
Hours for
yeah.
sure. But, I mean,
yeah.
as soon as possible
yeah.
after they're officially in the
yes,
portal.
Yes, you got to do it.
And Auburn's been able to get players in. Auburn got the first visit from Keandre Lambert-Smith,
right,
and
right.
they wind up with a guy
yep, yep.
that was perceived as the top receiver in the portal.
Well, I always think if you can get them on campus at this school with our facilities and this community and the support, you've got a heck of a chance. You don't want to let him go to three or four other schools and then try to get him to come back or come in.
Right.
In the portal.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
high school, I think it's different.
Yeah.
In high school, I want that last – shot.
Well, I mean, the high school, I mean, most of the guys in the portal had that opportunity as high school guys. They already made those five
right.
visits.
That's true.
And they've
That's
been,
right.
they've been you know, wined and dined
yeah,
or
yeah.
whatever. They've gotten the royal treatment
That's
at every
right.
place. These guys, it's more a business decision
right.
for the players in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're looking for.
Yes.
And they're not as naive. So it's like, yeah, you don't have to try to sell me. You just tell me what you got, what's the depth chart, what am I going to get?
Yeah, yeah.
And they can make decisions pretty quickly.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely changed since I was doing it, but I'm really excited, and I think they're doing it the right way.
334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, or you can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcast. And again, really, really glad for the podcast. They helped me get in touch with the fellow that I was looking for a couple of days ago. I just heard from Blake anyway. It's good
you
to hear from
know.
Him. So yeah,
you never
yeah,
know.
It's great to know. I mean, folks that can't listen live,
yeah.
check out the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Hour number two of the Drive continues in just a few minutes. Don't forget, it's brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
Inspired by
the Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through. Auburn baseball coming up in a little while. Let's see, Auburn High baseball taking on Enterprise. That's going on right now over on W. Lee. And, you know, the winner there moves on. The loser, season's done. It's been an outstanding year. Final year for Coach Matt Simo at Auburn High. He's yeah, been there
long time.
For a long, long time.
Done Coach, a great Coach job. My boys. Yeah, he's done a lot of good things. Auburn baseball.
He
sure.
is as I mean, always energetic yep. guy. I mean,
great attitude.
Yeah, it's a great day for baseball and the little things. That's yeah. always he's yeah. always been yeah. the little things.
That's and, right, and that's and, true.
Yeah, and in anything they yep. add up. I mean, yep. if you take care of the little things, yep. They take care of the big things.
Yeah, when I was a GA for Johnny Majors, he used to always talk about the little things. And his other saying was, it doesn't catch up to you till it catches up to you. He was a character.
Now, let's see. You know, we really haven't gotten too much into this. I mean, you've worked for quite a few different
head coaches. Yeah, very fortunate. I worked under Johnny Majors as a graduate assistant and was fortunate enough to have Reggie White as a defensive lineman. I just told him what time the game started. That's all.
It's long, yeah. And just hope he's there. That's
what
right.
What an athlete and what a great
man.
Kid.
Yeah.
I mean, just a funny – he was like a two-year-old in that body, and he used to mess with Coach Majors more than any. He could get away with more stuff. Because Coach Majors is like Pat Dye, hard-nosed.
Oh, yeah.
No nonsense. We're going to tackle every day. We're going to hit every day. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. But, yeah, Coach Majors worked for Walt Harris at Pacific. Chris Ault, Hall of Fame coach at Nevada.
Now and that's the thing. You've been all over the country.
Yeah. And my wife said no more when we got to Auburn. Well, she didn't go to the last two spots.
Oh, is that right? I was wondering how many places Donna went.
She went to every one of them, and we came back from Texas Tech. We drove straight through. We got out, and we both were crying, basically shaking. We'd driven like 18 straight hours, two cars. And she said, I'm done. I said, okay, I got to get another job. I've still got, you know, years before I can retire. So I went to Western Kentucky. She'd drive up on the weekends. Bring the dog, drive home.
Well, it needed to be a place where within driving range.
Now, when I went to Purdue for the 1 year, she didn't come up as much, but I was only there.
That's a little
one
further.
Year.
Yeah.
That's about 2.5
That was
three
Jeff,
hours.
Wasn't it? Was,
yeah, Jeff Brom, another guy, and Bobby Petrino. I forgot Bobby. How could I forget Bobby? Coach Tuberville. I was very fortunate to work for a lot of good head coaches, really good coaches. Bobby Petrino might be the best that I've ever been around. And I know his personality, and a lot of people
don't
like him.
As far as just
organization, knowing both sides of the ball. Let me real quick. When we had a game, we'd play the game on Saturday. When we would come in on Sunday mornings, usually by 9, but you know, depending, he would have already watched both sides of the ball and written comments on each position.
Wow.
I've never had anybody do that. So I don't know what time he came. He might have came right after the game, you know, went straight to the office.
Uh-huh.
But it'd be like on D tackle, out of his gap on play 34. I mean, it's amazing. Every position, offense and defense. But, yeah, Bobby Petrino, Jeff Brom.
And that's some – I mean
– Chris Ault.
Some
– Chuck Shelton.
I mean, those are a couple of – I mean, really – highly thought of offensive minds,
yeah.
which probably isn't bad when you're a defensive guy, right?
Right, right. It's probably a lot easier on us because they were harder on the.
Who was the most? I don't want to get into you know, criticizing anybody,
right?
But I mean, was there a head coach or two that were more defensive guys that were more micromanaging?
Yeah. Well, Coach Tubb was a defensive guy.
Yeah, he was.
So he was on us a little bit. And deservingly so. I like that, though. I wanted to work for a guy that made you accountable. You know, everyone had a different personality. Some were hard-nosed, you know, chew your butt in meetings, in front of the players, on the sideline. Others would do it privately. You know, game day would be crazy with some of them. They just lose their minds. And then after the game, hey, You cooking anything? I'm gonna come by and have a cold one with you and cook some Kaneka sausage. That's it. Okay, come on. I thought you just fired me. But no, I was very lucky and worked for some great guys and great assistants. You know, Paul Rhodes. I worked with him. Who was head coach? I could name, the list goes on and on and on. Very lucky. But yeah, Coach Majors got me started, as a graduate assistant. That's kind of where I developed the work ethic and seeing how he worked.
Talk about when you did that, how did you go about getting that? I mean, what was involved?
I started out as a high school coach. I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And working at Hoston High School. Don and I had just gotten married. I went to a junior college in North Carolina to play football at Lees McRae Junior College, up around in between Boone and Banner Elk,
right.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, so I'm up there living in the dorms, making $50 a week. I left the high school job. My mother-in-law almost killed me. She thought I was nuts. I was married. I went from not a lot of money, but to $50 a week, room and board. Johnny Majors came and spoke at one of our – we used to have a convocation every – it was a religious school. Mm-hmm. Once a week, we'd have a guest speaker. The guy picked him up at the airport, said, I got a guy from Knoxville that needs to get back to his wife and needs to make some money and get into coaching.
That's nice.
He said, tell him to call so-and-so. I called. The next is history. I go down and interview on – I'll never forget. It was Good Friday. I watched Tennessee practice. They wouldn't even let me in. They thought I was making it up. I said, I have an appointment to see Coach Majors. And the guy at the gate said, yeah, everybody does, buddy. Just wait over here. So they run off the field. I go in the locker room. This is a true story. Coach Majors is taking a shower. They tell me to go. I'm standing at the edge of the shower, steam coming out, and I got this little suit on. It's 100 degrees. And he said, you ready to be a volunteer, young man? I said, yes, sir. He said, go see so-and-so. I'll be back Monday. Donna could not find a parking spot. She's circling their old 76 Nova going around, and she says, did you get the job? I said, yeah, I'm a volunteer. She thought I meant I was a Tennessee volunteer.
Yes.
I was no money volunteer.
Oh, you're a volunteer.
Volunteer. So that's a true story, and that's how I got there, and the rest is, I guess, history. Very lucky. It's about being in the right spot. And
right place, right time, and knowing some people sometimes,
too. Walt Harris was on that staff who hired me at Pacific. You know, it's who you know and who they know, and that's how I got on at Montana State. My first full-time job is the defensive line coach at Tennessee. Bill Shaw's buddy was at Montana State, and that's not what you know, it's who you know.
It's absolutely. Yeah.
And then you got to do your job once you get there, and I was very lucky, and I just moved from there to Pacific with Walt Harris, who I knew at Tennessee, so another connection. Then I went to Nevada with Chris Ault. Then a buddy of mine was on Tommy's staff at Ole Miss. He left to go to Tennessee.
Who was that?
Steve Caldwell, coached at Tennessee forever with Fulmer. He and I worked together at Pacific in Nevada. So he leaves.
There's that Tennessee connection again with Walt.
Yes, exactly. So long story short, he says Tommy Tuberville says to Steve Caldwell, who was leaving him after like a month, to go to Tennessee, and they just got to Ole Miss. He said, well, who am I going to hire as a D-line coach? It's July. He said, Don Dunn. He said, well, I know Don Dunn. I'd met Coach Tuberville way down the road. Phone call, I'm on a plane the next day, and I'm at Ole Miss.
And you're with that bunch for a long time.
And luckily we got to come to Auburn, and I'm still here.
Wow.
But it's crazy stories, but I got some other ones, too, when we've got time.
Oh, well, don't worry. We'll have plenty of time as the summer rolls on. I got one other quick one that I was wondering about. What was did you ever have a period where you wondered if you were going to get another job? What was the longest period that you had?
Well, I tell you, it was very, when we were let go here or whatever, whoever you ask. I was very nervous. I had a couple of opportunities. They fell through. I went on a couple of interviews. It didn't work out. Tim Carter at Auburn High called me, and I'm getting desperate. I was only paid through March back then. We didn't have the three-year contract.
Right. I remember that.
And making the big money. Made good money, but you know what I'm saying. But anyway, he said, you want to come work for me? I said, gosh, man, I've been in college. I want to stay in college. I'm frustrated. I'm depressed, blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, I need a job.
Yeah, Tim.
Tim's a great guy. And it could have been a lot worse places to go coach.
Yeah,
and
no
that
kidding.
Year, that's the year we lost to Prattville in the playoffs on a punt return.
Yep.
We were undefeated. One of the most enjoyable years I ever had coaching. But they wouldn't give me all my years. So I started out basically as a first-year teacher. Huh. Even though I had seniority, I had a master's, which helped me a little bit. And then that's when Tubb got the job after. He was out a year, remember?
Right.
So that was desperate, and I was getting nervous. Donna was getting nervous because we had Jonathan in college. He just started, and house payment, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody else.
Yeah, the real world.
And yeah, and I did go to work for Countries. That's the first time I went to work with Larry at Countries. Larry was nice enough to hire me up there and keep me going. And then I had to go take the test again because my teacher's license had expired
mm-hmm.
after 10 years. You talk about nervous. I had to go take the practice. What is it, the practice? What do they call it? Anyway, I had to take that. And I can never forget Steve Ensminger did the same thing because he went to Smith Station,
right.
if you remember, for a year.
Yep.
So we're sitting in there with all these young kids. Half of them we knew from – they were football players taking the PE practicum and all that. Had to go down to Montgomery. I got in a car, called Don on the way home. I said, I got to get a construction job. There's no way I passed that thing. They had algebra and stuff on this. I was so depressed. I came home, and about a week later, we get the letter. Steve Ensminger comes over to my house. He's got his letter. I've got mine. He said, open yours. I said, no. We opened it, and we both passed. And we said, that had to be a mistake. They must have felt sorry for us. Two old guys sitting there taking. But, yeah, that was a scary time after 08. And Tim Carter, bless his heart, gave me a job. And they were so nice to me. And I did in-school suspension over at the junior high. So I was a jailer. And I was hard on them.
Well, I was going to say you would intimidate some of those kids.
And that's the first time I ever got hurt in practice. I broke my leg. I got run over in high school practice.
Oh man,
broke my leg. All that college, all those big guys, and those two guys at high school ran over me and broke my leg. But it was fun.
Oh, that is great stuff from
from
Don Dunn. And we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in 334-321-1390 as we head into the final half hour. Here on the Friday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Nice looking weekend ahead. Hope everybody has some fun plans for the weekend. Let's get back to the drive hotline, 334-321-1390. And Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Enjoyed your career history.
Hey, we're just touching the surface of that. There's plenty more I definitely want to get Don to talk about when we have some chances.
Well, I still think the Falcons should have taken Brock Bowers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, or you know, if they really wanted to go need, it's very tough. I guess when you've got a team that needs a lot, then you have to look at those needs. If you're a team that is in decent shape, it's tough to just pass on a guy that you feel like could be a playmaker, an all-pro, a pro bowler type athlete at whatever position. And despite some of the negative stuff that I've heard here recently for some reason about Brock Bowers, I don't think these people have ever seen him play live or paid attention. And he would have been a huge draw. I mean, so popular in Atlanta. Plus, I mean, you've got Kirk Cousins signed to a multi-year deal. Give him another playmaker to get the ball to.
Right. And Pizzic, I mean, he's not going to hit the field for 5 years. So.
Well, I don't know about five. I mean, a couple, you would think.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think he's a great player. And you know, it was a good pick, but immediate needs are playmakers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they need help defensively, but yeah, Bowers. I think Bowers was just a natural. I thought that was a natural for them, but then I usually can't figure out what the Falcons are doing.
Nobody else can either.
No, you're right.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. 334-321-1390. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here. We talked some football a little while ago. All right, we were when we were talking about Auburn and, you know, some of the areas, I really don't see that glaring area of weakness. You know, last year we were wondering about the offensive line going
right,
into the year.
Right.
We were wondering about receivers.
Mm-hmm.
We were, you know, and then once we got through the signing period and we're heading into the spring game, I think the defensive front was a concern. Yep. Auburn hit, I think they hit it out of the park with their pickups over the last week, Don. I mean, you yep. look and you see Auburn picks up a nose, a tackle, and an end.
Right.
And all experienced guys.
Yes, they've got playing time, and they're older. And, yeah, that was a big week for us. And I'm glad they got some help there at D-line because you can't have enough of them.
No.
And, you know, these guys have played and in good leagues, you know, Big Ten that's a physical league, the Big Ten, especially.
Well,
defense.
you've got two guys. Bleedy started his career at Texas Tech before
right.
he went to Purdue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Rakes was at Texas A&M. Actually, never played at Southern Cal, and was with DJ Durkin for the last few years. So I mean, it's somebody that
familiar,
your
yeah.
new defensive coordinator is very
helps.
Familiar with.
That helps.
Yep.
That really helps. Yeah, I think they did a good job, like you said, and we just got to get them. Get them bigger, stronger, faster over the summer. Have a great summer. Keep everybody healthy, out of trouble. As a coach, you worry about
right. what,
oh, my Lord, I hated the phone to
Let
ring.
Let me tell you what, in the summer, no news
oh,
is good news.
Yes, sir. And you didn't want that phone to ring after 9 o'clock because I've been there. I was young once, and luckily we didn't have cell phones when I was in college.
right.
Or I might not be here today.
Yeah, so, I mean, really like the look of the roster. Like I said a while ago, don't forget, there's still 4 more days.
Yeah, yeah.
Auburn players could enter, or Auburn could see someone else who enters and go after them. Rosters still aren't set, but they will more or less be once the portal gets closed and players start making decisions.
Yeah,
the other thing to keep in mind is, again, players, they don't have to make a decision by the time the portal ends, so
right.
But you'll know what players are coming back on your team by mid next week,
and we have finals coming up this week. So
yep, finals are
that,
coming up.
Everybody will get on track, do a good job in the classroom, finish up. I'm sure they'll get a couple of days off, and then they'll be right back at it. You know, all summer. That's where the teams are made in the mm-hmm. summer.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. When we come back, I don't think we'd run Keontae Scott, who we got to talk to before the A-Day game, going to be one of the leaders back there in the secondary. A lot of younger players, but Keontae making that move from nickel to corner, and we'll let you hear some of the interview with him. But, of course, if you want to join in, we'd love for you to give us a call, 334-321-1390, as we get to our final break here on the Friday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Friday afternoon. And again, there's Auburn High baseball going on W.
Yep.
Lee. Auburn University baseball starts in about 45 minutes over on Wings 94.3. Wanted to, while we had the opportunity, let you hear some of the interview the media had with Keontae Scott, who decided to come back after so many members of the secondary, including a couple who may get picked in the draft tonight, decided to move on. Keontae coming back, and we had a chance to sit down and talk with him before A-Day.
Keontae, I guess just how is that? How's that new role at corner been going for you so far in the spring?
It's been good. I feel like it's definitely something that, you know, is going to take some work to, you know, getting back used to, but I've definitely been able to, you know, be with Crime and be meeting with Crime, and he's been able to, you know, just slow everything down, and I've been excited to be back on the outside.
You still spending some time at nickel?
Yeah, we're doing cross training now, so going to both, learning both, you know, in the new defense, so I'm very excited.
How quick How quickly have you guys been able to pick up the new stuff with Durkin and everybody that came in?
Yeah, so, you know, like when new defenses come in, it's same as, a lot of same as stuff. So just being able to see what is same as and acquiring the new terminology is the biggest thing. So just putting together the new terminologies of everything and then, you know, slowly breaking everything down as the spring goes on and continuing to learn. And Coach Durkin's been doing a good job of installing stuff and breaking stuff down, and all the coaches has been, you know, helping us break stuff down. So we're progressing every day.
You're definitely the old hand of the bunch. Just talk about young guys and who's caught your eye this spring.
Yeah, so I definitely feel like, you know, our class is, you know, super deep with guys that, you know, will definitely be able to help us, you know, early. So very excited for some of the young guys, guys like Jalen Crawford, you know, guys all around the ball, Kingsley, just different guys in that class that just been able to, you know, seeing them step up and you know, transfer their skill sets to this level has been super, you know, exciting to see.
Cam Coleman said that you guys go head to head a lot, and you've been coaching him up a little bit. What have you seen from him?
Oh man, just, you know, very high skill set. You know, that was one of my things when he committed. In my head, I was already like, okay, you know, I'm gonna just, you know, do my part into, you know, helping him mature his game a little bit, and, you know, helping him out in certain things when I'm seeing him run routes. You know, we talk a lot, so, you know, just being able to, you know, go and see him be encouraged to go against me and realize that, you know, it's a great matchup to have. So just being able to see him progress even as just this time in the spring is going on, it's been really exciting. You know, we talk all the time after practice and just going against him every day is super exciting to see. I can't wait to see him in the fall and see what he puts together. He's going to have, you know, a great 3 to 4 years here at Auburn, and can't wait for it to start.
A couple words that we've heard describe this defense are freedom and simple. Just kind of how have you seen that kind of take shape in the back end?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Coach Durkin's doing a good job of, you know, allowing us, you know, to be different to backs and, you know, to go out there and get those matchups and being able to, you know, lock those guys up on the outside. So, you know, being able to have a defense like that where a coach, you know, putting a lot of trust in you is just something that us as a defensive group want to stand up in and be able to stand up in that role and just be able to perform in those moments.
What are some things you're working on, thinking about improving on? Obviously, you're thinking about NFL and trying to be a pro. So what are the big steps you need to take, you think?
The biggest thing, you know, I want to be able to do is just be able to, you know, most majority focus on my 111. I feel like that's kind of our mindset as a defense, everyone being able to do their job, as Coach Durkin, you know, preaches that. So just being able to, you know, have that matchup is kind of my thing this year, being able to know the teams have a guy on the outside and just being able to fully shut down that side of the field, whether that be inside or outside. So that's my biggest thing, just working on, you know, technique stuff and just the small things, you know, the small things show up in those big moments. So just being able to break down those small things during the spring and to continue to train that technique while tired and stuff like that, and just being able to, you know, continue to just be able to practice and be on my stuff and be ready for the fall.
Any big adjustments with the new defense or anything that you were surprised by?
No, I actually, you know, I love the defense. I love the scheme, very aggressive, you know, so I'm very excited for that. You know, the guys are going to be able to get called on to make plays, and it's going to give guys great opportunities to make those. So it's definitely exciting defense to be in, and I'm very excited for it. We all are.
Obviously, you guys always have to be in this constant state of doing what's best for you and looking out for what's, you know, best for yourself as a player and your development. Obviously, you had a couple of decisions to make in the offseason, whether it be go pro or transfer. Just kind of what about coming back to Auburn felt like it was the best thing for you to do moving forward?
You know, I love this place at the end of the day, and, you know, just – had to really sit down and just focus on everything and look everything through, and Auburn is the place I wanted to be. So definitely was able to make that decision and just rock out and be very excited for the fall.
And what about the culture council? Have you seen, you know, Coach Freeze said that you're one of the guys in that group. Just kind of what are you guys trying to accomplish?
The biggest thing majority is just set the standard early for the younger guys. You know, it's a lot of seniors in that council. So the biggest thing is being able to not only, you know, teach guys the standard, but being able to, when we come back to Auburn and see that council still going, see those guys still being able to, you know, preach something. Because mostly what we're trying to do is just handle the little small stuff you know, that could come back and that, you know, the younger guys may not see, or guys in general just may not see, that will affect us in the fall or just affect us in general. Just handling those things off the field and being able to have guys that people can look at that are doing things the right way is the biggest thing. And guys have been buying into it, and we've definitely been seeing some improvements. So it's definitely something that we're all excited about, and being able to, you know, set that standard. And like I said, being able to come back and see it keep going is our biggest thing.
Keontae, you were asked about Cam a little while ago, but what about the offense? What does the offense look like to you? How do you think they're doing?
Oh, they're excited. They're excited. You know, they've been, you know, we've been going back and forth, and I'm very excited about the offense. I feel like guys are buying into the scheme, and you see it meshing and all coming together. So definitely excited about to be able to go against that offense every day, and then being able to go against us, I feel like it's ultimately going to make us better.
Keontae Scott spending some time with the media there before a day. And yeah, I always like to ask guys on one side of the ball what right. they think of the other side.
Yeah, because they go against them. They yeah. see them every day, and they compete against them. And they usually know who the good ones are,
mm-hmm.
what they can do well, what they can't do well. So that's a great question, yeah. Because they're going to, you know, you always talk about your side, but going against somebody else every day, especially in spring because it's every day, is important.
Any big plans for the weekend, Don?
Not really. Got to go in tonight and cook. We got a big order of butts going out tomorrow, some pulled pork, I think 31 pounds. Go in tonight, and then I'm going to the Kentucky Derby next week.
How about that?
So call me and get your picks in, and it's 150th running, and I'm telling my age. I was at the 100th, too.
Oh, man.
But the price
just a babe.
Yeah, I was 12. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's great. Well, have a great time. Thanks again for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you, guys. Always enjoy it. Thanks, Drew.
All right, we are out of time here on the Friday Drive. Dan should be back in. Brian Matthews in Monday. We'll look back at the weekend. Don't forget Auburn baseball coming up over on Wings 15 minutes from now for the pregame. Meanwhile, check out Auburn High Baseball on W. Lee, right here on ESPN 106.7. Round 2 of the NFL draft coming up. That's going to do it for the Friday Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.